to Protect. Brought to you by Midlands 103, the IBI, and funded by Commissioning the Man with a television licence fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more information.
On this week's Ours to Protect, we take a look at the bogs. Not only do they play a critical role in supporting biodiversity, carbon storage, and water regulation, for many years they provided huge employment to the Midlands region. Two key aspects of bog management are cutaway bogs and restoration efforts. Cutaway bogs are used for peat, for fuel or horticultural purposes, while restoration initiatives aim to rehabilitate degraded bogs to their natural state. Biodiversity Officer at Offaly County Council, Ricky Whelan, and Dr. Catherine Farrell, an experienced peatland ecologist and researcher at Trinity College Dublin, are discussing their importance.
Back in the 30s and the 40s, what you had in the Midlands was you had a lot of bogs, a lot of peatland areas with a bit of turf cutting at the edges. And then you had an emergent, nascent state that needed to find a way to, you know, create energy for the family, but also then the new peat-fired stations that were built across the Midlands, like in Rode and near Lullymore. And so that required more efficient ways. So they got very clever. And, you know, it's a testament to the engineering skills, really, of Bordermonnet that they transformed it from turf cutting. Then they had a thing called a bagger. And then they just developed this milling approach, which meant you could transform 1,000 hectare. So that's like a hell of a lot of football fields into this brown desert, essentially, with straight lines, and you did not want to be out there standing. Like Ricky Whelan would not want to be there with his nice white
butterfly
t-shirt
net.
Because, well, first of all, there's no butterflies, but you'd be absolutely covered in dust. Like, this is, it's well engineered, and it's to do that effective, reduced costs, applying the engineer and all that sort of thing. And they did it as best they could. And then while the lads in Bordermonnet were doing that, then you had the other lads who were transferring from their way of turf cutting to things like the hopper, and getting a lot more industrialised in terms of the domestic sod turf production. Mm-hmm. So these industrial scale things, they really need restorative measures. And by that I mean that when they're finished, if you're turf cutting and you're leaving a big cliff edge at the edge of the bog, you need to start thinking about, you know, a few years before you finish, how you're going to profile that edge. Because first of all, that's a health and safety hazard. Imagine a child running across the edge of that into a big black hole. And then it's in terms of trying to sort of back up the water in the cutover and the cutaway at the edge of the bog, so that can start to regenerate. And that regenerates very well with peatland species. So that's your turf banks. And now I suppose the whole landscape has changed in the last couple of years. I just, every time I look at the news, there's some new grant or award for peatland restoration. And in fairness, a lot of it seems now to be going to Bordermonnet to assist in what they're calling, you know, the rehabilitation of the cutaways. Now, the reason they call it rehabilitation is because it's not technically restoration. So, you know,
well, it's not, because a restoration would indicate that it's going back to its pristine state, but that can never be achieved.
Not in our lifetimes. And this was a hard lesson I learned when I started in the 90s. So I was asked to develop a restoration plan for the cutaway blanket bog down there. And I quickly realised I couldn't use restoration and cutaway together. That what I was essentially able to do was to re-wet what was left behind, and that it was bringing it back in time. You were literally going back in time thousands of years and bringing the bog back to how it started off, which meant you were putting it back on its path. But you couldn't call that restoration, because it infers all these other things when you're talking about habitats of conservation status. And
I feel like we've really not let up on bogs. So even, like, just say we did the real divil when we industrialised things after the war. And, you know, the first harm, I suppose, we committed was when you take the top layer of vegetation off the bog, it basically makes it unhospitable for bog fauna, for your frogs, for your for your butterflies, for your other invertebrates and newts and lizards and all that sort of stuff. You know, then we milled it for peat and we created these big brown deserts. And then, I suppose, Bordemona or whoever pulled the gate behind them, and they began to, when the pumps went off, they would get wetter, or the drains were blocked in some cases. They got wetter and the vegetation started to redevelop, and you get lots of headers and various things on the drier parts, and maybe sphagnums and those wetter plants in the wetter areas. But then that wasn't good enough for us. We had to start planting forestry on our peatlands because it was seen as marginal land, I suppose, cheap land. And then when that wasn't good enough, we start sticking wind turbines all over the place, which to me, as an environmentalist, as a conservationist, on paper, wind turbines are yes. But in practice, in many sites, it's a big no-no. So we obviously say wind in the right place. And we see these empty spaces, or what we derive as empty spaces, as these bleak landscapes. And we just want to fill them with something. And it's weird. I don't know where it comes from.
It's definitely in the Irish psyche to use these lands. And it's, we haven't understood them well, but we now understand them better. To me, that means let's not keep making the same mistakes. I mean, the definition of madness is you keep doing the same thing again and again. Yeah. These were lands to be used. So Todd Andrews, who was the father of Bordemona, back in the 1930s said, you know, we're going to get rid of all these bogs and we're going to transform them into land that we can use to grow crops and make them proper.
Yeah.
So it was productive. This complete mismatch between what the bog is actually doing. So now we know, first of all, the bog is, I mean, apart from being an absolutely spectacular landscape and in and of itself has value as a habitat, we know that it is actually, when it's working properly, it's sequestering, which means it's drawing down carbon from the atmosphere. The stuff that's already there in the form of peat that stays wet is a carbon stock. So we're keeping that in the ground. So the other thing that it's doing when it's working properly, when it's a good wet soggy bog, is when it rains, it traps water, it holds water, and then there's a slow release of water. So it actually reduces the risk of flooding. So when you drain it, you lose the flood mitigation. Suddenly, all the sediment is going out in the water, so you're actually impacting on water quality. And then by the air getting into the peat layer, it actually can start to break down the peat, so you're releasing the carbon. So all of these things are, you know, I was trying to convey this to a group of students recently, and, you know, like, we're so used to saying, oh, well, the bogs are a threatened landscape and, you know, we're losing them. But they're actually threatening as well, because by leaving them in the state they're in, they're actually having a negative impact on our environment and ultimately our health and well-being, because it's all down to us. It's all, everything is driven through the lens of how we view this land.
You can find out more information about bogs on ours2protect.ie, and there's a fact sheet on the bogs on Midlands103.com.
Ours to Protect, brought to you by Midlands 103, the IBI, and funded by Commission the Man with a television licence fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more information.